Vermont Viewpoint is a public affairs program produced and funded by WDEV and the Radio Vermont Group. We welcome listener feedback. Email your comments to vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com.
Good morning. This is Vermont Viewpoint on WDEV. I'm Rick Sengary. A week ago, I got to hunker down in one spot wrapped in the warmth of Harry's Hardware and the friendliness of the people of Cabot. This morning, I'm going to be hopping from one mountain to the next out in the cold or coldish air high on the slopes of eight different ski hills around the WDEV listening area. It'll be a fun way to get the season really started and for you to learn what's happening at your favorite places to ski and ride from the Canadian border down through the Mad River Valley. And we get started by visiting our nearest neighbor. As the crow flies, I think we're a Bryson DeChambeau drive or two away from Bolton Valley Resort. And joining us is Bolton Valley President Lindsay DeLaurier. Lindsay, welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint.
Thanks, Rick.
Now, listeners, if you'd like to jump in with a ski and ride story this morning, you can give us a call, 802-244-1777 or 877-291-8255. Lindsay, what is it that makes Bolton Valley a favorite for those who ski and ride there regularly?
Well, I think probably it's the sense of community that people have here. You know, it's the kind of local resort where you come up and you see your friends, and it's just a real family and community experience that people love.
How was the early skiing there?
Well, we had about maybe a couple good days, a couple great days with, you know, we had a nice snowfall with about a foot. But other than that, to be honest, it's been a bit of a grind. The weather has been a challenge early season, as it often is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've been doing what we can, taking every opportunity to make snow. But the persistent warm weather and even the rain has made it hard to get a lot of terrain open. But the terrain that we do have is really lovely to ski on. You know, I always just give so much credit to our grooming team. They work wonders on the man-made snow in all conditions. So the terrain we have is great, and I'm looking forward to the next week ahead where it sounds like we might get a little bit better of a weather pattern, though I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, I'll pull Roger Hill aside and see what we can do. So, as things open up, what is the schedule there at Bolton Valley? When are you open?
So at Bolton Valley, it's the same now as it's been in years past for our regular season schedule. We're open from 9 to 4 on Sundays and Mondays, and from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday.
All right. And if there is snow Sunday available up on the mountain, you've got a big event there, don't you, this Sunday?
Are you talking about our Santa Ski Day?
I am.
Yeah, we live. So December 19th, this Sunday, we've got Santa Ski Day. It's an annual tradition, and if you come dressed up as Santa Claus, you'll ski for free at Bolton Valley this Sunday.
Got to be head to toe, is that right?
Head to toe.
Yep.
complete Claus.
I love it. And there's a photo session. What time does that get started? You got to be there at what time to be in the big Santa photo?
Oh, shoot, Rick, I'm going to have to look up on the website to get you to the answer to that, if I'm honest.
I know, and it's 11 o'clock. I circled it. Ho, ho, ho.
Perfect.
I thought it was too
thanks
great.
Thanks for bailing me out.
I had to know. No worries.
Are you going to come in your Santa suit?
I doubt it, but I just love the whole idea of it. I think it's fabulous. What a great way to celebrate at this time of year, get people out on the slopes. What is new this year at Bolton Valley?
Well, one thing that you'll notice driving up the access road, though, you know, the Timberline lift isn't open yet, so you'll have to wait to actually get the peak of the inside, is we've expanded our Timberline base lodge this year. Mm. So that's pretty exciting for us, and it's a beautiful addition. I think people's eyes are just going to pop when they go in and see how beautiful it is in there. Unfortunately, I have to caveat that, you know, everybody's struggling with staffing and a lot of challenges. So, you know, like other places, we've had to be really thoughtful about what we can and can't open. So our service down there will be limited this year, unfortunately, but the space will be lovely. And so, you know, once we get the lift open, I hope a lot of pass holders will park down there and leave from there and check out the new base lodge, which is really beautiful. So that's the big thing. There's some other stuff that's kind of behind the scenes that you might not see. Cafeteria up at the main base area has seen some changes, a little updating, and that's going to be, all that food there is going to be available online for online ordering through the Toast app. So it's going to be, I think, a really great experience. It's going to all be made to order this year. So instead of going in and waiting in a long line and picking up heat from, you know, your food from under the heaters, you can go right on your phone and order it right from the chairlift even, and it'll be waiting there for you when you get down. Some nice new furniture in the base lodge, really sprucing the place up. You know, each year we try to kind of, you know, make a few more small improvements and just continuing on down that path.
That's
perfect.
I think
it looks great up here right now.
Yeah, and keep the special spirit that's there. Tell us about the great deals you have on nights and Mondays.
Oh, yeah, that's a great opportunity for anyone who doesn't have a season pass and wants to find some affordable skiing. We're doing $39 Mondays every Monday. We're doing that again this year. Every Monday except holiday weeks. So okay. Do check the calendar and make sure you don't accidentally, if you're looking for that $39 ticket, come up on a holiday Monday. But all regular Mondays throughout the season. And then every night for night skiing, it's $25 if you buy your ticket in advance. And that's year-round, holidays, non-holidays. So, you know, come on up after work and bring the kids up after school and do some night skiing. It's kind of our specialty.
It really is. That's a great thing for Bolton to have, and a lot of people really do rally for that. Are passes, season passes, still available yet?
We do still have season passes available. Yes, we do. Yep. No plans right now to pull those off, though, you know, depending on if we were to get an unexpected burst or something, you know, that might change. But as of now, those we're gonna keep having those available.
Now, Lindsay, Bolton Valley is a movie star now. What's going on there?
I think you're talking about the Teton Gravity Research In Pursuit of Soul, maybe?
I am. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, we were featured in a Teton Gravity Research, kind of a short film, maybe a half hour, 40 minutes, something like that, that looked at the spirit of independent ski areas really around the country. And Bolton Valley was featured in it, and they told some of the story of my dad and our family, and it was pretty sweet. My only critique was that, you know, we took him out for a great ski day, and I wanted to see more of the skiing, but the storytelling was fantastic.
Yeah, well, somebody there in the edit suite got it a little bit wrong. But tell the story of your family starting this wonderful resort, Bolton Valley Resort, I think back in the 60s, am I right?
Back in the 60s, yeah, that is true. So my grandfather had a farm out in South Burlington, and when the interstate was getting built, as everyone knows, the government had to, you know, take land to do that, and the land for the interstate cut right through the farm. He was compensated for that financially, and he bought 8,000 acres in Bolton, which he intended to log, which he did do. He intended to and did. But my dad, who was kind of a young guy at the time, in his late 20s, I think, had the idea to build a ski area. And it was really his passion project, and he was obviously successful in making that dream a reality, which is kind of his specialty, I guess. and he built Bolton Valley Ski Area, ran it for 30 years. Pretty much all of the development that you see up here was done by my father. And then, in 1997, the ski area was on hard times. My father, under duress, really had to sell the ski area. Then it went through a number of different owners for about 20 years until just a few years ago in 2017, when my brothers and myself and my dad got together with a small group of local investors, and we were able to buy the ski area back and bring it back to the family and back under our management. So now we're in the next generation is at the helm here. So it's pretty sweet for us on a personal level, and I think it's nice for Vermont too.
Yeah, it is, and I know it is so family oriented there at Bolton Valley. What kind of programs do you have that make it so?
Well, right from the get-go, back in the 60s, you know, my dad really made it his mission to teach Vermonters how to ski. He always talks about growing up, going to Burlington High School, and not a lot of his friends skied. It just wasn't something that was really pervasive locally. And so that's really a big part of the impetus for why we have night skiing, because it really makes skiing accessible to people, you know, so you can come after work, and so kids can come after school and so forth. And together with that, he founded, right in, if not the first winter, then by the second winter, he founded the after-school program, which, you know, tens of thousands of kids, and I'm sure many of your listeners right now listening, learned to ski through the after-school program at Bolton Valley. And we partner with a ton of schools. They bus the kids up for night skiing. We've got lessons and rentals for the kids. And it's really a... It's really one of the ways that Vermont kids learn to ski, and that's near and dear to our heart. So that's really one of our programs that we're most proud of. And then we have a great ski and ride school here, you know, with everything from individual private lessons to small group lessons to season-long programming where the kids meet, you know, every weekend to ski with the same group and really progress their skills and take their skiing or their riding to the next level. So for kids, those are really the at the top of the list. And then the other thing that I'll just flag for adults, because, you know, one of the sort of directions that the whole ski industry is going in right now is this interest in expanding your repertoire from just lift access to also really starting to get out and explore the backcountry. And there's been such great advances in the gear to make that really much more approachable. And my brother Adam has spearheaded the creation of our backcountry program here with a host of guides and intro to backcountry clinics. And we've got a full rental and demo setup for both split boards and AT. And it really creates a way for people to, you know, try it out, see if they like it before they invest in the gear, learn how to do it safely, get to know some areas, have some instruction. And it's a unique offering and a unique program. And I really encourage anyone thinking about, you know, asking themselves if they'd like to try to learn how to backcountry ski to check out what we have here and reach out to my brother. And he's really got it pretty dialed in.
That is great. Stop two on playing hooky and getting out on the mountain is a place where you actually have your choice of mountains. At Sugarbush, they want you to come for the mountains and stay for the community. Let's learn what that's all about. We're going to check in with John Blay. He's the Public Relations and Communications Manager at Sugarbush Resort. John, welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me. Welcome to winter.
Yeah, I can't wait for it to really embrace us. But, John, when people think about Sugarbush, what do you want them to imagine or remember?
You know, I think the first thing a lot of people think about when they think of Sugarbush is the terrain. I think we have some of the highest-end sort of expert terrain that you'll find on the east. A lot of people like to say it's kind of western skiing in the east, which, you know, I don't know about that, but I think some of our high-end terrain is really what sets us apart from some of the other resorts. And then the other piece is obviously the community and the Mad River Valley. And, you know, this area, which we share with neighboring Mad River Glen, is a really special community full of, you know, it's vibrant. There's working farms, there's artisans, there's shops and restaurants, but you won't find any sort of national chains, or there's not a single stoplight, which is a real point of pride for people in the valley. And I think these two things are what makes Sugarbush so special. You know, I like to say, in order to get to Sugarbush, you have to pass a ski resort from any direction to get here. So the people who are coming here really want to be here for a certain reason, whether that's the terrain or the community. And then that, in turn, also kind of creates this cool communal vibe.
John, you know, I've been to the valley so many times, I never realized that fact that there's not a single stoplight. That's pretty cool. I love that. Hey, when all the runs are open on both mountains, how long would it take a skier or a rider to experience all that you have at Lincoln Peak and Mount Ellen?
Oh, man, I don't know. Maybe we'll have to test that out this year.
I thought you might have done that.
111 trails. I don't know if you could do it all in one day. Maybe with some smart finagling. But, you know, the way Sugarbush is set up, especially because it's two mountains, But really on Lincoln Peak is we have lower mountain lifts and we have upper mountain lifts. And so what that does is it spreads people out really well, but also it creates these sort of pockets of skiing. So as you know, there's the Castle Rock area, or there's Heaven's Gate area, or there's North Links. And so it makes it kind of difficult to ski everything in one day because right. you have to move to these different areas.
Yeah, I thought somebody might have to come for at least a weekend or part of a week to really get an idea of it. Anytime I've been to Sugar Bush, one thing I've noticed, the employees have always seemed so proud of the resort. Why do you think that is?
I think it goes back to this idea that people are really choosing to be here. It's not necessarily the most convenient place to visit or work. So the people who are ending up here are really here for a reason. And that creates this sort of overarching, almost a feedback loop of people who love to be here, which creates a better community and creates a place where more people want to work. I think it can definitely be attributed to all the work that our previous owner, Wynn Smith, put into it over the last 20 years. And then Alterra has continued to put in since we were acquired by them 2 years ago, is just find ways to invest in your employees and make this a fun place to work, and the rest will kind of follow.
What's new at Sugar Bush this year?
So I would say the biggest project that is happening is with Vermont Adaptive Ski and Sports, which is an organization that really focuses on adaptive skiing and getting people with disabilities out on the hill. And they are wrapping up their $2.5 million addition to the Mount Ellen Base Lodge, which we are actually doing a ribbon cutting on this Friday, which is the same day that Mount Ellen will be opening this Friday. And so they have built this big addition, a brand new sports facility over at Mount Ellen, whereas before they were kind of working in this little 400 square foot space. And now they have multiple floors and sort of all the rooms and gear and programming that they need to really launch this program further. And that's really the biggest project happening. Alongside that, we were able to also do some pretty significant renovations to the Mount Ellen Base Lodge. So that whole section, that's the original base lodge from when that mountain started in 1963, has a good facelift.
Well, the work with Vermont Adaptive, you really should be credited for, and that is a real jewel to have for those skiers and riders. You've got some great events planned this week and next, I think. Tell us about what's going on there.
Yeah, so like I said, Mount Ellen's opening day is this Friday, and then we'll be doing a big sort of ribbon-cutting celebration opening Vermont Adaptive's new facility. And then we also have what we call the Sugar Bash, which is kind of our annual birthday party. We sort of have a big dance party with giveaways and all sorts of stuff, which will be over at Lincoln Peak. And then from there, we're basically moving into the holidays. And so we have started to see this year compared to last year, we've been kind of creeping back the events, right? We didn't do much last year. And now we're starting to bring a lot of events back. So there will be fireworks and a torchlight parade and some other cool events and activities happening over the holidays as well.
Yeah, the fireworks on New Year's Eve should be a lot of fun. Your motto is be better here. You say that people can elevate their skiing and riding at Sugar Bush. How's that so, John?
Well, it is an aspirational statement. And the idea is, I think, especially with the terrain here, that this is an opportunity for you to sort of become better at whatever you're trying to achieve. And often it is skiing and riding, but it could be something like getting married at Sugar Bush. It could be something going to one of our restaurants. But on the ski and ride side, the ski and ride school here really works hard to find ways to improve you as a skier and make you more comfortable on the mountain and be equipped with the right tools and skills to be able to ascend to that top level terrain that we have. The Castle Rock area here is some of the sort of gnarliest old school New England terrain that you'll find all in the East. We don't groom there. We don't make any snow there. And so this is, really a great training ground, this whole mountain, for being able to improve yourself as a skier. That's why That's why all the best skiers come from the East Coast, you know?
There we go. Well done, John. Are there still season pass packages available at this point?
Yes. So the Icon Pass, which we are obviously on and a big part of, those have gone off sale, but there are still Sugarbush-only passes that you can purchase online, as well as day tickets, obviously.
All right. And how about a trail or two that are, you know, kind of a hidden gem at Sugarbush that you wish more people maybe took advantage of and tried out?
Well, I don't know if I want to tell anyone my hidden gem. But, no, you know, I think one of my favorite trails on Castle Rock, which I would say is even underrated for Castle Rock, even though Castle Rock's a pretty popular spot, would be Lower Castle Rock Run, which is a great trail. I think as people start to get down that trail system, they are just already thinking about going back to the lift. But Lower Castle Rock Run kind of ducks off Castle Rock Run. It just has a really cool fall line. And again, is this sort of neat, narrow kind of trail. But then one of my other favorites would be off of North Lynx, which basically keeps sun all day, and which is why I like that area. And is Morningstar, which is the trail right under the lift that isn't too steep and usually forms some really nice even bumps, and is a great spot to kind of whip out some turns that is typically never very busy.
John, we talked about the staff there at Sugarbush. Are you still hiring people for this season?
We are, yep. There's still some areas that we're looking to fill in. You know, it has certainly been a tough hiring season, but we're in pretty good shape. But I would say, you know, housekeeping, rentals, ski and ride, even to an extent, you could all use, you know, more staff there too. And we did, you know, raise our minimum wage to $15 over the summer, and that obviously continues now and into the winter as a means to incentivize workers, as well as continue to expand our employee housing, because that's something that has become ever more important, particularly as the housing market in Vermont and ski towns has kind of gone a little wild. So we're trying to do everything we can to make this a really attractive place to work. Yes, we are still hiring systems even now.
All right. And we've got about 30 seconds left, John. Pandemic protocols for this season, are they like last year?
Yeah, all you're going to see this year is we have basically lined ourselves with Warren, which is where we are, the town of Warren. So masks are required indoors unless you are seated, eating, or drinking. Otherwise, no capacity restrictions inside or outside, no masks outside. That's kind of what we're doing.
Yay. All right. John Blay is the Public Relations and Communications Manager at Sugarbush Resort. To find out more of what's happening there, you can visit sugarbush.com. John, thanks so much for being on the show again.
Appreciate it, Rick. I'll see you on the hill.
You got it. All right. We're going to take a break, go to CBS News, get an update, and then we head east to East Corinth and Northeast Slopes. And coming up today at noon, listen to the Midday News Service with Lee Cattell and Brady Farkas. This is Vermont Viewpoint on WDEV.
For a stress-free holiday shopping experience, head to the Warren Store in the beautiful Mad River Valley. Specialty coffee drinks, artisan soups and sandwiches to warm your soul and fill your belly. Grab-and-go meals, local beers, international wines. Upstairs, find a curated collection of unique finds from clothing and accessories to toys, games, and puzzles, candles, cards, snow globes, and so much more. Always free gift wrapping and excellent customer service. So enjoy your holiday shopping. Fun, funky, safe, and friendly. Main Street, Warren Village, and warrenstore.com.
We're back on Vermont Viewpoint on WDEV, and we're getting primed for ski season here in Vermont. Our last stop was at Sugarbush with a couple mountains. Now we're going to take it down a notch and visit a community ski hill where tow ropes and T-bars and TLC never go out of fashion. Joining us now is Wade Pearson, Vice President and Senior Rope Towologist at Northeast Slopes in East Corinth. Wade, welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint.
Good morning, Rick. Glad to be here. This is a little like speed dating this morning.
Yes, it is.
Speed skiing.
That's exactly what we're doing. Well done. Listeners, if you want to share a Vermont skiing or riding tale, you can call us at 802-244-1777, 877-291-8255. All right, so you're next on my speed dating moment here. So tell me what you got. Why should I love Northeast Slopes, Wade?
Well, I think just the community atmosphere. Everybody's going to greet you with a smile. Everybody's going to help you get up the lifts. If you've never done a rope tow, we're going to show you how to do that. Especially our beginner slope, we've had a lot of new families come last year, and they get over on our beginner slope, which is a 400-foot rope tow. Runs relatively slow compared to our big rope tow, but everybody gets the hang of it, and nice little gentle slope, get everybody started, and we have little hiking mats with cartoon characters on them that, you know, brand new toddlers can start out on by sidestepping or duck walking up and just doing that 50-foot slide to the bottom, and before you know it, a week or two, they're on the rope tow, and then they graduate in a few weeks to the T-bar and doing a full mountain.
Wow. Is the rope tow ready to go?
It is. It is. We've been working on it. We have, as people can imagine, we have the same guy that is a tramway inspector that does the tramway at Jay Peak or Killington, comes and inspects and safety certifies our rope tows.
Mm-hmm. All right. And like you said, you know, a lot of people have never used one. So what are the tricks? I think people have to should have a specific equipment to be able to use it, right?
Well, a good sturdy leather glove is good. Mm-hmm. A fancy down ski glove, spend a lot of money on. After a few runs, you're probably going to it's going to look like a chicken house with the fox let loose. There's going to be feathers everywhere. But no, a good solid leather glove. You address the rope, get it in there about hip level, let the rope slide through your hands gently to get the feel for it, and then you slowly grab hold of it until you become a moving object and one with the rope and up to the hilt to whatever point you want to get off from.
Wade, how many years you've been doing the rope tow? When did you first learn that technique?
I grabbed that thing when I was 2.5 or 3, probably down between one of my parents or siblings' legs. So that would have been 1966. That's 55 years ago.
Oh, man, that is so cool. And that really typifies what goes on at Northeast Slopes. Who enjoys skiing and riding there?
Well, again, you know, it's a big hit in the community, the surrounding communities. And as of lately, especially since we did put a T-bar in, which is a little more user-friendly, mm-hmm. We're seeing people from all over New England come, especially Central and start parts of New Hampshire, Vermont coming. But we're seeing vacationing families. There's no real lodging or resort areas right around here,
yep.
But we have seen an influx from, like, the Airbnb market.
Yeah. I mean, this is your organic community hill. It is not the result, you know, the big resort. And so, yeah, the other mountains have bigger, glitzier, more. How has Northeast Slope survived? Is it 85 years now? How long has it been?
Yeah, this is we're going into our 86th season because
wow.
36 would be inclusive. It's December of 36, so that's inclusive. So you got to count zero.
Yeah.
So the math never seems to fit, but yeah, it's our 86th season coming up very shortly. Hopefully within a couple weeks once we get through our tramway inspection and get some snow for one thing, which
yeah.
sometimes can be challenging because we are all natural snow. We don't have a single snow gun on the hill.
Yeah, and yeah, you usually start after Christmas weather. Permitting, correct?
Weather permitting. Last couple of years, it's been first and second weeks, weekends of January. So we sweated out a little bit. We've had those early snows, but they weren't great. They weren't real usable or user friendly
right.
snows. They were very hard packed. I mean, we could have done something with them, but wasn't the quality we were looking for. And last year with COVID, we had a lot of extra work to do that got us a little behind as well. So we just were patient and waited for it all to happen.
Mm-hmm. Are there any COVID protocols you have to worry about this year?
Well, we've left everything in place except for, you know, literally getting some vinyl stickers that will cover the words "are required," and we're replacing them with "recommended." And that would be the face mask, you know, the face mask required signs that we have all over the place.
Yep.
We're going to leave those out. We're going to leave them as recommended. Indoors for staff and employees will be mask. Outdoors, again, it's recommended but not required. And we're going to have one thing that was actually ended up being an advantage for us or was kind of a boon for us is we had a temporary lodge expansion by putting up a large tent and putting some heat in it, some tables and chairs, so it was considered outdoor, you know, lodging or dining. Mm-hmm. And we've just, it worked so well that we didn't know why we didn't do it, you know, 15 years ago.
Oh, right.
And have left it up. And so it's there. It's going to be in place. Our outdoor deck. We have the local store, Waits River General Store, is going to be doing the deli food and burgers and hot dogs right off the deck. So you don't even have to take your skis off to grab a meal here.
Necessity, the mother of invention. Speaking of that food, I want to go over some of the things that people remember once they've been to Northeast Slopes. Talk about that Northeast burger.
Well, it's moved from indoors to outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
There's been claims it's not exactly the same as it was. And it's the same beef. It's the same onions. We're still Cabot cheese. And one change will be this year, and we are hunting relentlessly for the right Kaiser or brioche-type bun, is Colatina Bakery. Not the restaurant, but the bakery. And we want to shout out to Don Morgan, who has donated Colatina buns for our big burger, the Nor'easter burger, for more than I can remember, and it's hundreds and hundreds a year. And he's donated that to us for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And they have since closed recently, within the last couple of months, and there are no more Colatina buns. So we'll be looking for the right bun here soon.
All right. If you think you got the bun, get in touch with Wade over at Northeast Slopes. Also, there's that view of Mount Moosilauk.
Yeah. So it is nice because we're over there. We're looking from Vermont across the Connecticut River Valley. We're catching a few mountains that are in New Hampshire. Moosilauk is in New Hampshire, of course.
Mm-hmm.
If you're all the way to the top of the T-bar or skin up from the rope toe and get that last 150 feet and get to the summit, yeah, we're looking straight east. And, boy, there's no better sight than once in a while we have an occasional night skiing. We don't schedule it out, you know, per date, but we will wing it and call it maybe a week ahead of time due to conditions, and we'll try to time that with a full moon. And to be on top, was the full moon crest Mount Moosilauk is incredible.
Wow, that sounds great. I always have to double check. I always think it's a misprint, but the prices you charge, Wade, tell people how expensive it is.
How expensive? Well,
to come to Northeast
Slopes. It was with great debate at our annual board meeting before the season, you know, got going here, that, you know, what we're going to do. One other thing with COVID is we found with, again, staffing issues with COVID, we lost a lot of retired people that were maybe not comfortable with being face to face with a crowd. And we're still in a little bit of that boat. So what we did is we reduced our hours, our operating hours, from 9:45 or 10 o'clock to 4, down to noon to 4. And, of course, that cut our need of staff by at least 40%. So not that it was easy, but it made it easier. And so we're going to stick with that again this year and just still go with the full-day price, which is $15. And that's what everybody was doing last year. I think we were calling it a half-day, and it was $12. And our little-toe prices stay the same. Our Wednesdays are 10 bucks, noon till a little after 4. And Wednesdays are always fun. We started up a thing called Rope Toe Wednesdays, where 2:30, 3 o'clock, about the time the kids get out of school and come down, and we have some out-of-town visitors, we would try to make an effort to run the big rope toe so people could experience that. And that's, if you're a rope toe enthusiast, that's the place to be.
And
we've been doing that on Sundays as well, because we don't run that lift every day. It's kind of a backup of the T-bar, and again, it takes extra manpower. But we do love to run it when we can, because it's truly a skiing experience that you need to check off the bucket list, is riding a high-speed rope toe for sure.
And you still need volunteers.
We need volunteers. We had a great volunteer lift operator training session where people have to, new ones have to certify and previous ones have to recertify. So we had a couple dozen people come 2 weeks ago Sunday, and that is a great start. And then we'd also have a list of people that just need to recertify, and we can recertify, you know, on the fly when they come in, and we go through the anything new with them once the season starts. So I would not say we have an abundance of volunteers, and we certainly don't. If anybody is interested in any of those positions, they can contact us, probably not on the office phone till we get open, but my contact, PearsonsTrans@gmail.com, and my phone number, it says to Wade, is there too. And they get a hold of me, we'll get back, and we'll set up a time or give you some details on that. And
all right,
the other volunteer position that we're really, really desperate for this year is our middle school ski program, which comes out of Waits River Valley School just up the road, we've been doing for years. It's a no cost to students or family, no cost to the school. We kind of have fundraisers and donations to support this program. And the good news, bad thing news is it's gone from about 57 or 8 participants last year to about 80.
Oh.
So, and we've, and on the other hand, we've lost some of the instructors or mentors, ski mentors, to go with some of those groups. So we've kind of, we're getting pulled in two directions. So I would put a plea out to the listeners. If anybody is interested in, and you don't have to be a certified ski instructor, we have a head PSI ski instructor who oversees the program. But if anybody wants to be a ski buddy or a ski mentor with a group of middle school kids at any one of beginner, intermediate, or even really good ski levels, please contact us. We're desperate looking for that. That program is, I'm going to say noon to 2:30 on Fridays, where the hill only opens for the school.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the perks, aside from the great satisfaction and enjoyment we get out of the program and getting kids to ski better or more proficiently or just learn at all that might not even ever been able to have the chance to experience it, is this year the perk is I'm going to open at noon for the ski mentors only, and you'll get fresh tracks for 30 minutes before the kids show up.
All right, we've headed west, south, and east out of Waterbury so far. Now let's point the skis northward and head up Route 100, stop in at Stowe Resort. Joining us now to share what's up on Mount Mansfield is Jeff Wise, Stowe's communications manager. Jeff, welcome to Vermont Viewpoint.
Thanks for the time, Rick. Happy to be here.
Excellent. Now, DEV is 90 years old. You're right behind us. Stowe is 85 this year. Give us a little history of how things got started back in the mid-30s.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Stowe Mountain Resort is celebrating our 85th anniversary this season, and those 85 years commemorate the first lift over here on Mount Mansfield, which was a rope tow located in the toll house area. And we operated that rope tow until 1939, when we constructed what was then the longest chairlift in the country, which was the double chair on Mount Mansfield.
Can you imagine what that must have been like when all of a sudden, you know, it's like we get to sit? We don't have to use the rope tow?
This is pretty amazing. And just listening to your previous guest, rope tows do have a special place in the history of skiing, and they still exist to a large point at a lot of resorts around the country. But, we don't have – our new version of the rope tow is called a magic carpet. It's kind of a conveyor belt that you stand on, really good for people just starting out to learn how to ski and ride. But, yeah, lots of history here in Stowe, and we'll be celebrating that all year round with events that commemorate and acknowledge the history here at the mountain.
Well, tell us a little bit about those events.
Sure. The next 2 weeks are really like the most exciting weeks of the year. Starting on Thursday, we have one of the newest things that we built at the mountain was a performing arts center. It's one of the most beautiful performing arts centers in the state, and that's located at Spruce Peak. And on Thursday, we have a concert featuring the Plattsburgh State Gospel Singers. And then that leads into this weekend, which is our annual Festival of Lights. So on Saturday at Spruce Peak, we're going to have live music. We're going to have skating performances on our outdoor ice rink, including Olympian Sarah Hughes. And food and fun for the whole family. And we'll be having our annual Christmas tree lighting ceremony. So it's a really fun family event. It's free. And I would encourage people, you know, it's a real good après-ski thing to do. Or if you're not skiing that day, you can just come up to the mountain and enjoy the Festival of Lights on Saturday. I'll just mention a couple of more events. We also have the Bolshoi Ballet in HD film with the Nutcracker at this Performing Arts Center on Wednesday and Thursday, December 22 and 23. And of course, there's celebrations happening all throughout the holiday week, culminating with a New Year's Eve celebration over at Spruce with a torchlight parade and fireworks.
That's great stuff. Now, you're part of Vail Resorts. Have things changed much at Stowe with that connection?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of positive change. This will be our fourth winter operating as a Vail Resort. And I would say that the biggest change has come along with the Epic Pass and access to Stowe. So traditionally, there were definitely some price barriers for folks to come to Stowe. We are, you know, one of the Northeast's most premium resorts. And now with the Epic Pass, which gives you access to Stowe either on a daily basis or a season-long basis, it's become a lot more affordable to not only ski in Stowe, but it gives you access to upwards of, well, 9 resorts here in the Northeast, a whole handful of resorts down in the Mid-Atlantic, and 37 total resorts nationwide. So it's really, from a season's pass standpoint, there are passes that literally cost a third of what they used to cost for Stowe Mountain Resort.
Gotta love that. And what is the Epic Mix app?
Yeah, the Epic Mix app is really cool. Mm-hmm. It's a new technology. Basically, you download the app on your phone, and it allows you to track your runs, your vertical, different places that you check in. It's a one-stop spot for real-time information at the resort, what terrain's open, what lifts are open, what restaurants are open. You know, it tracks your movement around the resort. And what's really cool and new to this season is there's a component on the app called Epic Mix Time, and it tells you how long the lift lines are at our primary lifts. So, like, you could be standing at the top of the mountain and look at it and see one line is moving quicker than the other and head over to that lift versus the one where the wait time is longer. So it really keeps you informed of everything that's going on when you're at the mountain.
That is absolutely brilliant. Now, Stowe has a robust selection of trails when everything's open. If you could only get out for a couple of runs when all the trails are open, where would we find you?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. So my favorite run at the whole resort is off the top of our gondola, mm-hmm. and it's called Perry Merrill. Mm. It's named after the Vermont State Forester that cut the first trails here at Stowe with the Civilian Conservation Corps, another interesting part of our history.
Yeah.
And it's not a Black Diamond Trail, but it's well over a mile long. It gives you well over 2,000 vertical feet of skiing and snowboarding. And it's wide. It winds. The snow quality on it is always groomed really nicely. And you get to ride back up in that warm gondola to take another run.
That. Yeah. We got a minute left. Jeff, anything else that you really want people to know about what's going on at Stowe this year?
Yeah, for sure. I'd like everybody to know that we're open with, you know, close to 25% of our terrain, which is pretty good mm-hmm. considering what Mother Nature has dealt us so far this season. So that's 28 trails and 5 lifts. We're expanding terrain daily, and we plan to have a much more significant amount of terrain open, including the gondola, for the holiday week.
And very quickly, any COVID protocols to be wary of?
Yes, absolutely. Outdoors and on the lifts, we don't have any protocols. We don't require a mask. Indoors, we do require a mask. And at certain quick-serve cafeteria-style eateries, we do require proof of vaccine. But there are plenty of places to eat around the resort where you don't need a proof of vaccine.
Excellent. Jeff Wise is Communications Manager for Stowe Mountain Resort. You can learn more at stowe.com. Jeff, thanks for taking a little time off the slopes joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Rick.
All right.
Have a great winter.
You too. We're going to take a break at the top of the hour CBS News update, and then we're going right over the mountain. We're heading to Smuggs. And a reminder that coming up today at 1, we've got the Vermont Conversation with David Goodman, followed by the Getaway with Senior Greg Hooker. This is Vermont Viewpoint on WDEV.
For a stress-free holiday shopping experience, head to the Warren Store in the beautiful Mad River Valley. Specialty coffee drinks, artisan soups and sandwiches to warm your soul and fill your belly. Grab-and-go meals, local beers, international wines. Upstairs, find a curated collection of unique finds from clothing and accessories to toys, games, and puzzles, candles, cards, snow globes, and so much more. Always free gift wrapping and excellent customer service. So enjoy your holiday shopping. Fun, funky, safe, and friendly. Main Street, Warren Village, and warrenstore.com.
We're back on Vermont Viewpoint. When my family asked me if we've had any snow yet, they say it with some dread, because back in Pennsylvania, they're not particularly keen on big snow. I remind them that we want snow in Vermont as much as we can get, especially up on the mountains, of course, so we can ski and ride. And that's what we're doing this morning. Our next stop on this whirlwind tour is at Smuggler's Notch Resort, or as we so warmly refer to it, Smuggs. We have their communications director with us now, Stephanie Gorin. Stephanie, thank you so much for being on Vermont Viewpoint this morning.
Oh, Rick, I'm so glad to be here. And yes, think snow. Bring it on.
Right? I always say, you know, send it our way. We'll take it. What you don't want, we'll take. And they have no idea.
They hear when they say there's a nor'easter coming.
That's right. All right. So tell us what makes Smuggs unique, Stephanie.
Smuggs is all about families. It's all about making memories and bringing families together and doing really fun activities. So we have activities planned from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed. And the families that come here come back year after year because they love it. There's so much to do. We have everything from, you know, obviously there are ski lessons. We have Snow Sport University, which is award-winning. It's called SSU on the Mountain. And we start kids as young as 2.5 years old on skis. It's really cute in Riglet Park, Burton's Riglet Park. It's so adorable to watch them start to go over tiny moguls and learn what momentum feels like. But it goes straight on up, and we will teach adults, you know, straight through all the levels. So we start with that, but there's also snowshoeing for those who don't want to go, you know, onto the mountain. Those are who are not alpine skiers will find a lot to do at Smuggs. So it's something for the whole family. Snowshoeing, ice skating, there's swimming, you know, in through the winter. There's so much to do. There's cross country, you name it, Smuggs has got it. But then at night we have these fun activities. Everything from, you know, bingo night for the family to hungry, hungry humans one night. Another night we might have snowshoeing and s'mores, which is like a lantern-lit path where you snowshoe down to a big fire pit, and that's where you make s'mores with your family and then snowshoe back. So we keep everyone busy and consistently making memories, and then, of course, the kids will sleep when they get back to the condo.
That they will. What about glow tubing?
Glow tubing is so fun and incredibly popular. People love it. It's kind of a, I hate to say it this way, but I'm going to just say it. It's like a psychedelic experience. You have this incredible lit path, lit, you know, tubing path, and it's all bright lights and, you know, the kind of lights that when you fly by, all you're seeing is a blur of lights. Think about it like when you look at your Christmas tree and your lights all seem to like go together and form together in that great, you know, that great format. And you think, oh man, that's so pretty. Yep. That's what you're seeing, only you're zipping down the hill at the same time.
I love it.
The kids love it. And I have to be honest, the adults love it just as much as the kids.
Yeah, that's definitely right in my wheelhouse. But let's talk about, you know, getting up on that mountain, the skiers and the riders, the real ones that I've known. And this is not to put any other hill down, but they really enjoy the trails at Smuggs. Why is that?
I think it's because we have great snowmakers and groomers, and they have all the equipment that they need. to make the right amount of snow and make sure that that each trail is groomed properly. In fact, this year our groomers won Ski Magazine's Reader's Poll for best groomers, number one in grooming, and that's an amazing accomplishment for them. Yeah. For our mountain, we make sure that every trail has something special on it. Every trail has, you know, is taken care of and groomed and watched over, if you will, very specially. Plus the fact that we have everything from, you know, from the very small hills, Sir Henry's Learning Hill, straight up to Madonna, where we have the only triple diamond in northern Vermont. So that's a great extension, I guess, of everyone and of what everybody can do. I think also the experience of riding on our lifts it's kind of that, you know, that true old-fashioned feeling of, you know, going up the mountain on a two-seater lift, and you get to, you know, enjoy the ride up and then come on down, and it's very authentic. It feels very authentic to those who do it, and very, it's like an organic experience. It's so wonderful.
Mm. All right, so we've talked about the activities you have. You have some events coming up in the next few weeks. Tell us about them.
Yeah, we do. We're constantly planning. We have an activities department that is second to none. They're incredible. The things that they come up with and the ideas that they come up with are amazing. Think about we have a backcountry event coming up on December 18th, but then you get closer to the holidays, and we're going to have on Christmas Eve, we're going to have Santa is obviously going to arrive. We're going to have live reindeer. We have fireworks planned for Christmas Eve. I mean, it's a celebration, and it's something for the entire family to enjoy and remember. And you don't have to be, you know, 7 or 8 years old or even 4 or 5 years old to enjoy that kind of an event. One of my daughters told me when I was explaining what was going on, she said, "Mom, I think I've seen that in a Hallmark movie. It sounds just like those Hallmark movies that I watch." And I said, "Yeah, that's right. It's sort of like that." And we create that kind of an experience. We're going to have the SD Ireland truck come here and set up shop. And everybody that's at the resort, and the resort will be close to full that day, can go and take pictures with the truck. And you know what I'm talking about, right?
The mixer. Yes, indeed.
Yes, it's so much fun. So those are the kinds of special events that are always added to what's going on a regular nightly basis.
Now, on a personal note, I have to mention that, yes, listeners, this is Stephanie Gorin. You have tuned into her for 26 years on NBC5. And, Stephanie, you were recently inducted into the Vermont Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame. So how does it feel to be honored by your peers in that way?
Well, I can tell you, I was inducted with Corn. We're in the same. It was the highest honor of my career. It was humbling, but I was ecstatic. I was so happy. I'm the first female to be inducted from NBC5, from WPTV, in the Hall of Fame's 66-year history.
Wow.
So that was also an honor. You know, I don't feel like I'm breaking any glass ceilings here, but it was such an honor to be there and to have your entire body of work that, you know, I put 30 years into this body of work, into serving the community in that way. To have it recognized in such a way is absolutely humbling but thrilling.
Yeah, well-deserved. Congratulations, Stephanie. All right, back to the mountain. Are there still season passes available if anyone's looking for a gift for someone who's been good during 2021?
Oh, absolutely. There are season passes. There are bash badges. There are all kinds of things that you can get for them. Plus, there's great, I have to say, there's great swag. There's great merchandise in our store right now. If you look on Instagram, you'll find it all set up. And we just had a blogger here who put tons of the merch all over Instagram. But it's great stuff, and it's a great gift, and it's a great way for your family. If you give that as a gift, you're going to come as a family. It's a great way for your family to get outside and enjoy together and enjoy all that Vermont has to offer.
And that, to me, is what this mountain is all about, is enjoying the outdoors, enjoying outdoorism, if you will, and being together while you're doing it.
Any protocols in place because of the pandemic?
There are, of course. And, you know, we try not to focus too heavily on them.
Sure.
But I will tell you that if you're going to be on the shuttle, and we have shuttles that take you everywhere, once you park, you know, if you come to the mountain, once you park, you don't get back into your car. If you're here just for a day, you know, a daycation, if you will, you still don't need to get back into your car. If you're here for a week, your car stays put and our shuttles take you everywhere. If you're on that shuttle, you need to be masked up. If you are vaccinated, and we're not asking people, we trust that it's the honor system. If you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask, but we highly encourage that you do when indoors. All of our public-facing employees will be masked when indoors, and outdoors if they can't keep a 6-foot distance. That being said, we're not requiring masks outdoors. We're not requiring masks on the lifts. We're not requiring masks in the corrals when you're waiting to get, you know, onto the lifts to go up the mountain. We're not requiring masks there. But think about it, that essentially with how folks are dressed when they're at the resort, when they're at the mountain, most are covered up anyway, mm-hmm. You know, because it's cold.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's one of the things. They'll take their gaiters and they'll pull them up over their mouths regardless.
Absolutely.
You know, that being said, they won't be required to do so when they're outside. So we just had a very successful brew fest on the resort at the Village, and we had all local brewers and hard cider makers come in. There were about a dozen of them that came in. It was very successful. Hundreds and hundreds of people were here. It was free. It was free to the public. It was free to any of the guests staying here, any of the day guests. You didn't have to pay anything. You could just go and taste test everything. And then there was a wood-fired pizza guy. He was our food truck guy, and he was selling food, but, you know, because, frankly, beer and pizza and smugs, that's a combination I could live with.
Yes, indeed.
But that was a really successful event. And when I was walking around and talking to folks and looking at everybody, about half were masked and half were not. But those who were not masked were keeping their distances from everyone. So everybody's, like, they're highly aware of what's going on, but they want to have fun. They're ready to travel. They're ready to get outside and do fun things. We've all been cooped up for so long, and this is a great way to do it without feeling that, you know, that masked in, closed in feeling. You know, we're taking all the precautions that we can. And of course, as I said, we are masking. I was at this event, and even outside, I masked, you know, just so that if I was talking to a guest, I wanted to make sure anybody that I was talking to felt comfortable. But I didn't need to be masked. I chose that.
Gotcha. Now we get to talk to an Olympic gold medalist. I'm surrounded by Vermont royalty this morning. Joining me now is Barbara Ann Cochran, the ski school director and ambassador for Cochran Ski Area in Richmond. Barbara Ann, welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
Barbara Ann, Cochran's is not a big ski resort, nor does it want to be. So what is Cochran's?
It's actually, it's a really special place. It's you know, it's family oriented. It's, you know, our background is that what we're really known for teaching people how to ski or snowboard. And then train for racing for high school levels all the way up to World Cup. So, yeah, and it's low key. It's family oriented. It's a great place to bring kids to come and ski.
Well, how is it able to provide this type of a community mountain in an era of bigger, shinier resorts?
Our mission is to provide skiing or boarding and lessons and race training to anyone at an affordable price. And I think like my nephew, Jimmy Cochran, is the one that is the general manager now. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago when he took over, he felt like we should lower our season pass, family season pass rates, and that we would actually do better. And we were all pretty skeptical, but he tried it, and it's been phenomenal. It's been amazing that it really has become very affordable for like just a lot of families.
Mm-hmm. Well done, Jimmy. Who are the people that come back there year after year, and who would enjoy it if they haven't yet been to Cochran's?
It's I think especially like people that are just learning to ski. I think if you're an expert skier and you want a big mountain, and you might not be so attracted to our hill, but the people that come are especially the people with younger children, the people that have kids that have grown up in the with the ski club and the racing, and it's like I just feel like once you've learned to ski at Cochran's, and especially with the racing, there was like years ago, probably 20, 30 years ago, I heard a story about somebody that was giving a presentation out in on the West Coast someplace in engineering or something like that. And someone from the back of the room yelled out, did you used to ski at Cochran's? And, you know, it was like nothing related, but that's the thing. We feel like once you become part of our, you know, bigger community of Cochran family, then it's like you're always a Cochran family, part of the Cochran family in the skiing community. And I think there's just another parent said that he calls our hill, like as he comes up and comes to the upper parking lot and mm-hmm. he crests that little hill there, he says he looks at the mountain ahead of him and he calls it Prozac Mountain because he says there's just so much peace and quiet and very calming effect. So I think, you know, it's just, it's very welcoming. It's not prestigious. It's just a very kind of humble place, I would say.
Yeah. I do love that first story. Some people giving a presentation get heckled, but former Cochran skiers get love from the back of the room.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. I've seen a little snow out there on the mountain. Any runs? Have you had some skiing already this year?
It hasn't been open to the public, but it has been open for the younger ski club kids. Mm-hmm. Have been the Mighty Might is great, which is where we do our beginner programs, and so I'm not worried about the programs that are going to start right after Christmas. And then about halfway up the T bar, they've got good snowmaking there. So it's been like a challenge this year to try and work with the weather, but we do have great snowmaking, so as long as we get the temperatures to make snow, they'll keep working at it and keep trying to open up more and more of the, you know, go up higher to get the rest of the hill open. But it definitely has been a challenge this year.
Are there season passes available at Cochran's?
Yes. Yep, season passes are $2.95 for a family. It doesn't matter how big the family is. It's $2.95 for the season for the whole family.
All right. And, I mean, there's a lot of Olympic and World Cup honors won by the Cochran's, you know, got their start on those slopes. What is it about your area that it has been great for launching those ski racers?
Yeah, I think a lot of it goes back to my parents' philosophy. And my dad has said that he just wanted to make skiing a heck of a lot of fun for us, and he wanted us to learn some lessons. He wanted us to learn that you can race even if you're not winning races, but you can have fun just with the experience of being in a competition, and that it's not so important to win, but it's important to understand that if you want to get better, you have to pay attention to the details and you have to work hard at it. So that was like, I mean, I think that's what's pervasive about the Karkinsky area is that it still encompasses that philosophy of, you know, first of all, let's make it fun for everybody. And then, you know, but you can achieve. And if you want to achieve and get better at something, you just have to pay attention to the details and work on the skills and do what you can.
Yeah.
And it's possible.
You're the ski school director there. What kinds of lessons do you offer?
Well, our most popular, and of course with COVID, we've had to revise it a little bit, but our most popular program is the Ski Tots program, where we teach the parents of the 3 to 5 year old how to teach their child.
Mm.
So the instructors do take like a run to show the parents what to do with their child, but then the parent takes over again and will practice what we've taught them to do. That's probably our most popular one. And then we have the 4-day series program where you have to be 6 or older, and we get 6-year-olds all the way up to, you know, adults that are just learning to ski for the first time. It's a great place to go and learn to ski. And those are 4-day programs where we teach you how to ski. We don't have it for, if you want to learn to snowboard, we have lessons for snowboarders, but you have to take a private lesson. And we don't have, other than those 4-day programs, we don't have group lessons for like just showing up and getting into a group. You have to sign up for the 4-day program, so we don't have daily group lessons this year because of COVID, and last year because of COVID. And then there's other programs that we have too. Like there's Kayla's Directory, which is kids that have some sort of disadvantage that they're all sorts of things, from physical ailments to they'd have a very difficult time being in a group lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a program that there's volunteers that work one-on-one with those kids, and they come. It starts in January on Sundays and runs into February on Sundays, and they come for an hour. I think it's for like, it's 6 to 8 weeks. I'm not sure exactly how long that is.
Well, Barbara Ann, I'm gonna guide people to your website, CochranSkiArea.com, where they can learn more. Barbara Ann Cochran is the ski school director and ambassador for Cochran Ski Area, and won gold in the slalom in 1972 at Sapporo, Japan. Thanks so much for being with us again, Barbara Ann.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, take care. We're going to take a break, get a CBS News update, and then we'll be back to hear what's going on at Jay Peak. This is Vermont Viewpoint on WDEV.
For a stress-free holiday shopping experience, head to the Warren Store in the beautiful Mad River Valley. Specialty coffee drinks, artisan soups and sandwiches to warm your soul and fill your belly. Grab-and-go meals, local beers, international wines. Upstairs, find a curated collection of unique finds, from clothing and accessories to toys, games, and puzzles, candles, cards, snow globes, and so much more. Always free gift wrapping and excellent customer service. So enjoy your holiday shopping. Fun, funky, safe, and friendly. Main Street, Warren Village, and warrenstore.com.
Welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint, and welcome back to our swing around the mountains in the WDEV listening area. Now we head to the Canadian border, and a place where it still could be last ski season. Their seasons last so long. We're headed to Jay Peak Resort. Joining me is Jay's Director of Communications and Events, J.J. Tolan. J.J., thanks for being on the program.
Good morning. Thanks for thinking of us.
That's a lot of J's. Be honest, if your name wasn't J.J., do you think you would have gotten the job at Jay Peak?
You talk about predestiny, huh?
No kidding. What a great place to be. And I joked about it a little bit, but the J-Peak season, how long does it tend to last?
Our last day on snow is typically the first or second Sunday of May.
Wow.
So depending on just how much Mother Nature sticks around, but the last 8 years we've gone into May. So it's been a good run of things, so to speak.
Yeah, that is great. Now, there's a thing you all talk about, because it is a thing. It's the J way. Define that for those who have never experienced the J way.
I guess the J way, in a word, would be tilted. You know, you tend to look at things differently, whether it's, you know, the way the wind blows us around up here or the amount of snow you have to trudge through. It makes you look at the world a bit differently, makes you appreciate the bluebird days a lot more, since there tend to be few and far between up here, and just a unique and a bit freer way of looking at the world.
What is it that makes skiing J uniquely different?
It would be our glades up here. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, when resorts were turning to expanding their snowmaking systems and lift infrastructure, we didn't have the capital to do that. So we went for a walk in the woods, I guess, and gave everybody a saw. And over the, you know, 10 to 15 years, evolved a pretty fantastic network of gladed terrain that, you know, you can be a beginner to the sport and find a big wide open run, or you can be the gnarled duct tape guy and go find the tight end chutes.
Mm. Are there any trails open right now? How's the season, early season gone?
The early season's been a bit convulsive, as it can be.
Yeah.
We had a great start with a bunch of snow. I mean, we have over 5 feet so far since we've opened. But, you know, we got kicked in the shins last week, like everyone else,
yeah,
with that warm burp and some sideways 70-mile-an-hour rain. But we get another warm spell tomorrow, and then we're back into a cold, stormy pattern. So the lead-up to Christmas is looking really good.
Yeah. Now, because of your excellent location there at the border, Jay has always been very popular with our Canadian friends, too. So have the rules relaxed enough that you're expecting a return of many of the skiers from Quebec coming down?
Absolutely. I mean, it's impossible to overstate the importance of our Canadian visitors. Over 50% of our winter business comes from north of the border. So when the Canadian government announced that relaxing of the testing requirements, the phones lit up, and that first Saturday after the restrictions were lifted, I think it was the December 4th, we had about a half a dozen people skiing the trails with Canadian flags flapping off their back. So it's been a big bear hug kind of welcome of return.
I had a little word with Justin Trudeau so that he would let things get back to normal, so you all could have a great season again up there.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, no worries, JJ. I took my first snowboarding lesson at Jay and had a great time. What can you tell us about the lessons that are offered there?
The lessons are offered by a kind of a platoon of veterans up here, guys that have been and girls that have been on the hill, I guess collective experiences north of 200 years between the troop of instructors. But they're really big into, you know, getting you into your comfort zone and then as quickly kind of pushing on that zone and showing you everything Jay has to offer. And it goes back to getting you in the woods to show you where the best snow is. So that's kind of the focus, is on progressive learning, keeping you in your comfort zone, finding that, and then teaching you how to push against it.
And then you have something called the 8-week program. What does that do?
The 8-week program is geared for kids that want, what would be the best way to put it, just kind of a curriculum of learning. We group the kids in similar skill groups. They get to know one another, and you kind of have that camaraderie of the cold and learning that comes with going out and learning how to wrestle with gravity and slippery surfaces.
Almost like
towards school-age kids.
Almost like an immersion program?
Exactly. It's something that parents can come up and put their kids in on Saturday and Sunday. They can go out and enjoy some turns on their own, and the kids get to hang out with their friends all day.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know families love Jay because even if the weather isn't great, you know, for being up on the mountain, you have some other fun stuff to do up there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we definitely guarantee you tired children no matter the weather. When it's too cold and too snowy, a lot of families head indoors to the Pump House Water Park, which is a 50,000-square-foot indoor water park that has enough features to keep you busy for 2 to 3 hours. Then they'll typically head over to Clips and Reels, which is our indoor climbing center and movie theater and a pool hall now. It has a couple pool tables.
Wow.
And then we have the Ice House skating arena for those who want to, you know, pursue their NHL career.
That's right. Or just do some figure skating. I want to go back to the Pump House because there's, you know, when people think, oh, it's a water park, there's a neat variety of things to do in there. I was up, you had a world-class indoor skier, surfer a few years ago. So you can actually do a little surfing. You can do, you know, come down water slides. Tell us about the Pump House a little more.
Yeah, when we were concepting it, we looked at water parks, and then we thought about how we could make it a Jay Peak water park. And the two kind of spins on that were, you're right, the Flow Rider, which allows you to claim that you went surfing in Vermont. It's essentially a giant trampoline on an angle that has 60,000 gallons a minute of water jetted across it, so you have a standing wave. And then we have something called La Chute, which is kind of the premier slide. It drops you into a 50-foot free fall and then shoots you into an upside-down loop before spinning you out about 4 seconds later. So it's kind of light your hair on fire, you know, in water.
Yeah. It's incredible to be running around in a bathing suit and be staring out at the snow falling outside on Jay Peak. It's a really neat added benefit of heading up to Jay Peak. I want to talk about a couple events. One that I think is absolutely brilliant. Tell us about the annual Farmers Day, Farmers Appreciation Day.
Oh, Farmers Day is pushing on 40 years at this point. It was something we started back in the early 80s that just as a tip of the hat to the state's dairy culture, where every farm in Vermont gets free skiing and discounted rentals and discounted food. And I think it's the third Sunday in January this year, but you'd want to check the website. But, yeah, it's free skiing for all farmers, all farming families. They just have to call in advance, let us know they're coming. If they miss calling, they can just show up with their co-op number or a pay stub, and we'll give them free lift tickets.
Nice.
We typically see between 500 and 600 farmers come up for the day.
Oh, I think that's brilliant. And another thing, kind of an event you wouldn't really think about, but it looks like a lot of fun, the Winter Pedal Fest.
Yes, mountain biking on the snow. That's something new that we're doing this year, and it's just to get, you know, people out on snow in a different way. Last summer, we brought mountain biking back to Jay, something that had never been here before. So this is kind of just an evolution in our thinking of, you know, now that we're getting in a biking mindset of, you know, we might as well learn how to do it on snow too.
Are you going to hop on a bike and do it?
Absolutely. I got a chance to try it a couple years ago, and it's a great workout. Those bikes aren't light, and the surface isn't easy to ride on.
Yeah. J.J. Tolan is the Director of Communications and Events at Jay Peak Resort, and the website is jpeakresort.com. J.J., thanks for being on the show this morning.
Thanks for taking the time, Rick. Thanks for thinking of Jay Peak.
All right. Have a great winter. It's been a lot of fun riding the lifts and learning about what's happening in our area this season. We finish at the place where they say, ski it if you can, which I can't. We've got Rye Young, the marketing and events manager at Mad River Glen. Rye, welcome to Vermont Viewpoint.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for taking the time to give us a call today. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Hey, give us a little history of this classic Vermont ski area.
Oh, sure. So Mad River Glen was founded by a man named Roland Palmedo, who was also the founder of Stone Mountain Resort. And back in the mid-40s, if you can believe it or not, he thought that snow had become too commercialized. So he left that endeavor and came down here to the Mad River Valley, scouting out land from above, and settled on this piece of property and created Mad River Glen with the intention to, you know, preserve the sport for its pure form and make sure that, you know, skiing was an endeavor that was for recreation over profit.
Yeah, definitely not over-commercialized. And I should explain, when I say I can't ski Mad River Glen, I'm a rider of sorts, not a very good one, but I've never skied. So the Glen has always remained ski-only, correct?
Well, sort of. Not entirely correct. back in the early 90s when snowboarding was coming around, or maybe it was even the late 80s when it started here. But Mad River and Stratton Mountain Resort were actually the first two areas in the Northeast and maybe even the country that allowed snowboarding.
Wow.
We had a snowboard school. We offered lessons. And, you know, over time, the snowboarders, you know, presented a problem where they were loading and unloading on the single chair and getting off the single chair. We don't have a typical down ramp there. It sort of crests to a hilltop. And so when you get off on skis, you skate off to your right-hand side. And snowboarders were trying to push off of the chair when they were unloading. And it caused some problems, a lot of derailments, a lot of delays with the lift. And so the then owner, Betsy Pratt, said that snowboarders would have to stay over on the Sunnyside double side of the mountain, which has great terrain. I can't deny that. But I think anybody that's familiar with Mad River Glen, and perhaps even some who aren't, would say that the single chair is the icon of the mountain. And,
yes,
and it services such great terrain that it only was a matter of time before people started getting restless with only being able to ride over on the double. And, you know, some locals voiced their displeasure with the then owner and sort of confronted her at the local grocery store. And then she said, you know, famously, she said, "That's it, no more snowboarding." And so it sort of stuck since then. You know, it's an issue that is voted on by the co-op shareholders, nearly 2,000 co-op shareholders. Have voted to maintain this as a ski-only area. But I would also say, Rick, that, you know, you and I wake up in the morning and we choose to wear sandals or we put on our muck boots. And, you know, you can do the same with ski boots or snowboard boots. And so if you'd ever like to come try skiing at Mad River Glen, I'd be happy to fit you with a pair of different shoes for the day, and you can come try it out.
I've never skied. It's very interesting. But I don't take it personally. I think it's kind of a wonderful piece of what Mad River Glen is, traditional in so many ways. You mentioned the single chair lift. Also, no snowmaking.
Well, we actually bought two new snow guns this year, so that brings our total snowmaking capacity. We have 9 snow guns now. Now, granted, it's not a big fleet. We still only make snow up to about 2,000 feet, which is not too far out of the base area. And, you know, we just sort of connect the dots from the base area up to the top of the mountain so that we can get up to the main mountain a little bit earlier in the season. But this past weekend, opening weekend, we were skiing on 100% man-made terrain on the practice slope. And, you know, the conditions were great. We had about 500 pass holders show up, and, you know, everybody really enjoyed it. So there is, you know, there's some benefit to having a little bit of snowmaking there. But once Mother Nature kicks in, we'll shut those guns down and then be skiing on the natural stuff, hopefully soon.
Love it. Who enjoys skiing at the Glen?
You know, this is a mountain for everybody. I learned how to ski here. My kids are learning how to ski here. It's a really family-oriented place. We have a great ski school here. You know, the whole mountain funnels down to one base area. It's very hard to get lost here. And it's just sort of like you know, it's like your neighborhood ski area, a little bit bigger, perhaps than like a, say, a Northeast Slopes or a Cochran's, but it's got that same home vibe, if you will. It's for everybody here.
Well, it is interesting, Rye. I have always thought of it as a, you know, a smaller place, but you know, when I looked at all the trails you have, it's fairly robust, much more more offerings than I thought. You know, again, having not been out on the mountain, so you do have a good number of runs actually for people.
We do. We've got 60 trails. You know, the majority of those trails are Black Diamonds. And it's a very rare occasion that we'll touch a Black Diamond trail with a groomer. But we do have two groomers. One of them is brand new to us this year. And every night they go out and they groom a big selection of greens and blue squares. And, you know, there's something for everybody here. It's not just an expert mountain. There's a great variety for any skier of any ability, and that's what I think makes it such a great family mountain, that there's something for everybody.
You mentioned you have a couple of new snowmaking guns. Anything else new at Mad River Glen for this season?
Well, you know, we did just finish a pretty extensive base box renovation, and of course, that finished up last year, but it seems new because nobody's really been in there following the pandemic or, you know, last season with all of our travel restrictions and guidelines. And this year, it seems like we're really finally opening that new building up to the public. And we're excited to see all of our friends and family back here for the 22 season.
Now, I know one thing you're really proud of is the free ski team. First of all, explain free ski.
Oh, sure, yeah. Free ski is, you know, all mountain skiing. If you would take that to, you know, out west, they'd call it big mountain skiing. But here, of course, we don't have such big mountains, so I tend to refer to it as all mountain skiing with a little bit of freestyle, a little bit of race, and, you know, sort of taking it to the hill and being able to ski whatever comes your way. That's free skiing.
Where does the team compete?
So a lot of our events are here in the Northeast, but they, you know, we compete on a circuit that's under the International Free Skiers Association, and those events take place all over the world. We also travel out west. We've been to North American Championships a number of years now. This year they'll be held at Big Sky in April. And then we're also sending a couple more of our junior athletes to the Worlds this January. In fact, we are sending two athletes this year to represent not only the East Coast, but the United States and, of course, Mad River Glen. We're very proud of that fact.
Another neat program that you offer there is the Naturalist Snowshoe Program. What is that? Who can participate?
Yeah, that's a great option for, you know, family members who come here who maybe aren't such avid skiers. It was started by a man who you might know as Sean Lawson of Lawson's Finest Liquids down here downtown in Waitsfield, Vermont.
Yeah.
He began the program, and it still carries the torch today. And, you know, every Saturday and Sunday during the winter ski season, we offer guided snowshoe tours around Stark Mountain, sort of taking a look at the ecology, you know, animal signs, tracking, all sorts of fun stuff out there.
Oh, that is neat. Got about 30 seconds left, Rye. Anything else we should know about Mad River Glen?
Well, you know, I'd say if you want to come check out Mad River this winter, your best bet is to go online to our online store and check out our very reasonable dynamic pricing on our lift tickets. And like I said earlier, you know, Mad River Glen is really a family-oriented mountain, and everybody's welcome here. There's terrain for everybody of any ability level. And like I said, also, we are very excited to see all of our friends and family and everybody back here who couldn't join us last winter.
And the website is madriverglen.com. Rai Young is the marketing and events manager at Mad River Glen and their freestyle team director, free ski team director. Rai, I'm wishing you many happy powder days this ski season. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for taking the time.
Sure thing. All right, that is our show for today. Vermont Viewpoint, directed by Danny McGivrigan. And please feel free to suggest guests or topics or a place you think we should broadcast from during our 90th anniversary tour. And you can email vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com. You can listen to past episodes of Vermont Viewpoint by downloading our podcast at wdevradio.com. Common Sense Radio with Bill Sayre is up next. I'm Rick Sengary. I'll meet you back here tomorrow when we talk winter tracking and we learn about an ice arena that's gone green.